Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business, banking for good. Member FDIC. Now back to 1043thefan.com, Cecil Lammy.
Well, you know, on Wednesday nights in this time slot, we will be talking fantasy football, but I'm going to do it on Tuesday night as well, especially when I'm on the clock, almost. In our Football Guys Expert Staff League, joining me, Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. Bloom, you know we talk Broncos, 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 but as I sit here waiting to make a pick with Philip Lindsay on the board in the fourth round, would that be a wise pick in your eyes? And what do you think about Philip Lindsay for a sophomore repeat, an encore in 2019?
I think it'll be hard for him to be as good as he was last year, Steve. Because Royce Freeman's going to get a chance to do more, which is probably better for Lindsey's longevity anyway. It could be better with Mike Munchak leading the offensive line. It could be better with Joe Flacco, actually an improvement at quarterback. But in the fourth round of your draft, there are probably players with a higher ceiling, running backs who don't have to share. And by the way, good evening, Cecil.
Yes, good evening. As we go through the world of fantasy football and the world of the Denver Broncos, it doesn't seem like they're clashing much this year. From a national perspective, the stank eyes on this Broncos team, and even a guy like Cortland Sutton, who we're excited about locally, I don't think fantasy GMs are really. In fact, there's more of a buzz for Emmanuel Sanders. Bloom, perhaps for good reason.
I think so. Fountain of youth. You know, Sanders has a good history. Sanders has a good history. I'm sorry, Joe Flacco has a good history with veteran receivers in their first year with him, you know, whether it was Derek Mason or John Brown for half a season or Mike Wallace or Anquan Boldin. He leans on Steve Smith. He leans on these veterans. And I think that the Joe Flacco's style play and Emmanuel Sanders' ability to get open will mesh very well.
Yeah, and that's where Flacco's going to look to that veteran that he can trust. But what does it say about the development or maybe lack thereof of Cortland Sutton, especially on this Broncos team, Bloom, which is going to throw 20, 25 times a game? Joe Flacco's not going to fill the air with football. So what does that say for Cortland Sutton and his fantasy value, especially if Sanders plays lights out?
Yeah, not much. I mean, I just think that Sutton is one of those players. See, they're going to involve the tight end. Flacco usually likes to target the tight end. So if they use the running backs more in the passing game, there's not much left there to go around. But it might be better for Sutton's long-term development because, you know, as we've talked about, Juwan Winfrey is there and maybe put a little heat on him in a sense of Sutton has to be competing against his standard, his best self, to really keep that spot away from some of the up-and-coming players they have behind him.
He's Sigmund Bloom from footballguys.com. You can check him out on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, certainly appreciate your time as we talk the world of fantasy football. What do you do with the Zeke situation? And by the way, you're on the clock, but the Ezekiel Elliott situation, how do fantasy GMs navigate that, being that we're probably going to get an answer to it maybe really soon? That and Melvin Gordon. How are you playing these two situations?
I think you take Zeke for the fourth pick or later. It's on the doorstep. This has had the feel of more of a hold out from the 80s and 90s. We would just say, look, this is a drama. That's a fake drama. They're going to pay the player like Aaron Donald a few years ago. And I think it's going to happen. This could be he's the 1-1 if he's playing. Melvin Gordon, he's going to take this thing you know, as far as he can. Maybe he can even take it to a mutual understanding like Le'Veon Bell that the team and the player will part ways. So Austin Eckler is the player you want there. You know, with the talk that now they're giving him permission to seek a trade, that just tells me that the Chargers have moved on, so we should move on from Gordon in drafts unless you see him in the, I don't know, the 7th, 8th, 9th round. We'll see how long he lasts in our draft.
Right, exactly. The draft going on right now for us. Sigmund Bloom, footballguys.com. And Sig, when we look at LeSean McCoy, I know a lot of people are super excited about Damian Williams. We've talked on and on about Darwin Thompson and what he could provide, a rookie running back. Looks like Brian Westbrook out there. Well, they got LeSean McCoy now. So how does that throw a wrench or complicate things from a fantasy perspective when the Chiefs now have LeSean McCoy?
Well, Heath, what do we believe in more? The Kansas City offense or that LeSean McCoy is washed up. Because we could be talking about this on Monday. This is why a guy gets cut right before the season. He's clearly the third best running back on that team, and that will sort itself out. Or this situation's so good that any running back who's competent can get the fantasy value out of it. And that's certainly how it's looked over the last few years. So in the seventh or eighth round, LeSean McCoy, especially if you only have taken one running back at that point, McCoy is an interesting pick to see what happens. But Damian Williams is still the one who should be first off the board and probably the one that's going to look better in the long run.
And Damian Williams is, a great talent. You just worry about him staying healthy. So we'll see how that shakes out. Sig, last one for you, and I appreciate your time as always, brother. We got to go down to Houston because, to me, Duke Johnson Jr. has always been a player almost like a Justin Forsett, right? And Broncos fans are going to remember Justin Forsett kind of when he was at the end of – he was literally at the end of his football career. But when Justin Forsett came into the league out of Cal, and he was like a kick returner for the Seahawks, and you thought, well, maybe if he got a chance, he could do something. And then he did, and he was a 1,000-yard rusher. I feel the same way, maybe even more strongly so, about Duke Johnson Jr., but now Carlos Hyde is there. How does that create complications when you're looking at that situation?
It doesn't. You know, see, I think that we saw Carlos Hyde as not an obstacle for Damian Williams or even Darwin Thompson in Kansas City. He's not really an obstacle for Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's always looked good when he gets an opportunity. He's going to get an opportunity. And Deshaun Watson makes the players around him better. He makes the players around him more productive. So I think we're going to see a career year from Duke Johnson. I think he's being underrated. And, I'll bring up Dare Ogunbowale while we're at it. See, these passing down backs, that if they're the best back on the team, I think these coaches are smart enough to know that no matter what they weigh, they should lead the backfield.
Yeah, and we'll watch that situation down there in Tampa. By the way, Bloom, why did you take Kyler Murray? You love Kyler Murray. I thought you fell out of love with Kyler Murray. We had a conversation about 2 weeks ago, and you're like, yeah, I'm kind of pausing. I'm kind of pressing the brake on Kyler Murray. You just took Kyler Murray as, what, your first quarterback?
Second, I took Brady.
Okay, Brady first. And Kyler Murray.
So Brady is the safe quarterback. And I figured since we went David Johnson in the first round, see, let's go big or go home on Cliff and Kyler.
He's Sigmund Bloom. You follow him on Twitter, at Sigmund Bloom. And, of course, check out footballguys.com. Bloom, baby, be good. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you.
All right, there you have him. Love him. He's Sigmund Bloom joining me here on our Jägermeister hotline as we look to the world of fantasy football. Doesn't include a lot of Denver Broncos, honestly. It doesn't include – I mean, it includes Emmanuel Sanders to me as like a flex play with some upside – perhaps higher upside than even Cortland Sutton. And I think Cortland Sutton should be that next guy. He should be taking that next step. I don't know, based on what we've seen at training camp and in the preseason, if that's quite going to happen. Maybe towards the end of the year, things are a little bit more in sync. But Emmanuel Sanders, to me, has the most value. And then the complication of Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman. Like, if they want Philip Lindsay to last, they may use more Royce Freeman. But from a fantasy lens, if they use more Royce Freeman, then you're not going to get your value out of Philip Lindsay. And by the way, nobody cares about your fantasy team, but we are at the end of the sixth round, and this is our footballguys.com expert staff league draft, and Philip Lindsay is still on the board. He's still there. End of the sixth round. Now, that won't happen. You're playing in Denver. Let's say you're drafting tonight with me or tomorrow night. That's not going to happen, not here. But that just gives you an example of where fantasy GMs and fantasy quote-unquote experts are at when it comes to Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman in this, situation where they're going to be running back by committee and maybe even the dreaded hot hand approach, which is the death knell for fantasy value because you just don't know going in on a week-to-week basis, well, who's going to be the hot hand? You have no idea of knowing. Even if Royce Freeman led the team in carries the week previously, Philip Lindsay might be breaking off more runs. So maybe they give him some more carries the next week. It is, again, mind-numbing to think about the complications you have now with this Broncos backfield. I think it's a good thing for the Broncos themselves. I think it's a bad thing for fantasy GMs who want to know, like, is Philip Lindsay going to do it again? And then I haven't even talked about Theo Riddick, of course, on injured reserve, and you would anticipate that Theo Riddick would be coming back. You would anticipate that Riddick will be one of those designated to return players. They only get two, and you have those three players on IR in Drew Lock, in Jake Butt, and, of course, Theo Riddick. So what do you do if you're the Denver Broncos? Which way do you go? Because if you bring Riddick back, you only have one more player. You're going to use that on Drew Lock? Or are you going to let the kid sit for a year? Is that what best for this Broncos team? Is what best for his development and his growth as an NFL prospect? Something that I've thought about a lot, and we've written about it at 1043thefan.com. I want you to check it out. Check it every day. I'm writing stuff every day for 1043thefan.com, whether it's my Mile High Monday or the AFC West Roundup on Thursdays. I'm writing a piece on Chris Harris versus Antonio Brown. Tonight, I'm writing a piece on a secret weapon the Raiders have. I'm going to spoil that one for you because I can't help myself. I'm super excited about this player who's been suspended in more games than he's played in 3 years in the NFL. So why is this player, former addict, by the way, why is this former addict for the Raiders now, as John Gruden said, one of the best sleepers in the league, one of the biggest secrets in the NFL? Would this secret weapon be unleashed on the Broncos on Monday night in week one? I'll tell you next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.